ordained of the good word of our great God. Pleasure, too, to have Brother Tom on the platform with us this morning. I do feel more warmly toward him today than I did yesterday. He was the brother who very effectively took me out of the shuffleboard tournament, but I've long since forgiven him. It was a good time. What a joy it was that we walked along the road this morning to see the Lord's people all converging toward the chapel. And this morning, as we're together, we look again at the 18th Psalm, and we'll read, shall we, at verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Father, we thank thee for this precious, precious portion in the Word of God. We just pray now that as we look at it together, over these next few minutes, that our hearts will be warmed and refreshed toward our beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. The teacher in me says that we must have a brief review. And yesterday morning we began this brief study of the first two verses of the 18th Psalm. We know that it was at the beginning of the Psaltery the psalm appears. Interestingly, however, it appears again in the second book of Samuel, chapter 22, which is that period of time as David nears the end of his life. We look with David back over that life, that very eventful life, and we saw ways in which he had experienced the presence of God. We noted, too, that his life, like ours, has had its ups and its downs. And yet, as David looks back over a life spent for God, he can say, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength, and so on. So it is our desire this morning, then, to pick up where we left off yesterday, having looked a little at the love that David had for his Lord. We tried to encourage our hearts, didn't we, that we love him. We love him because he first loved us. And in hearts that are in love with our Lord Jesus Christ, then we'll appreciate more deeply and dearly some of the truths that now will come before us in the remaining words of verses 1 and 2. David's statement, we noted yesterday, was clear and direct. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. He loved his Lord, and he loved him with a deep, mother-like, passionate love, a love that was full and fresh and vibrant in every way. But I notice in verse 1 as well that David says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. You likely noted as we read these two verses together that 9 times over, David uses the word my. The Lord is my strength, my rock, fortress, deliverer, God, strength, buckler, salvation, and high tower. And beloved child of God, you and I can join with David. And everything that David says about his Lord, you can say about yours, I can say about my Lord. Notice with me, please, that as David thought of his Lord and his love for him, he says, the Lord is my strength. It was warmly personal. He's mine. Sometimes we sing, and I am his, and he is mine forever and forever. And we rejoice in the truth this morning that the Lord is my personal possession. We rejoice as well, of course, in knowing that we are his. And David was moved by the fact that the Lord was his strength. You'll notice, I'm sure, that he did not say, the Lord will be my strength. No. The Lord That's his strength. He said, the Lord, my, O Lord, my strength. As far as David was concerned, the Lord was a vital, important part of his being. And any strength that David had, whether it was in the tending of the sheep, as he went out to meet Goliath, as he was the hunted and hounded, fleeing from Saul or whatever, the Lord was his strength. Beloved, the Lord of glory is your strength and he is mine. David learned that, as had his forefathers. They knew this truth. And as Moses said unto the people in Exodus chapter 13 and verse 3, he said unto the people, remember this day in which he came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by the strength of the hand of the Lord, he brought you out from this place. The Lord was the strength that brought Israel out of that land of bondage. All of those years that had been spent in servitude to the Egyptians finally came to an end when the Lord, their strength, delivered them and brought them out. Beloved, as we look this morning back to Israel's day of deliverance and the strength that the Lord manifest on that occasion, we look as well, don't we, back to the place of our deliverance, where the blood was shed on Calvary's cross for the likes of you and me. And in this glorious, thrilling truth of redemption, we rejoice today. As Moses was blessing his people, those near and dear to him, he said of Asher in chapter 33 of Deuteronomy and verse 25, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Asher, as long as you live, you will know the strength that comes alone from the Lord. And dear fellow believer, whatever the problem, whatever the weakness might be this morning, I have the assurance of my God for it, that as long as you and I live, we will live with the strength that the Lord himself provides. That encourages and that thrills my soul, and I trust it does yours as well. The psalmist in his 71st and verse 16 put it this way, I will go in the strength of the Lord. How wonderful to know that as the days stretch out before us, be they many or few, before we hear the shout, we go in the strength of the Lord. We have no strength of our own, but our strength is made perfect in weakness because of the strength and the power that he in his sovereign grace gives to we his people. We're thankful for this, and for it we thank him and praise him. There was strength available for the Old Testament saints. They knew what it was. Their strength was the Lord. And I am thankful this morning that there is strength for New Testament saints. And in this precious and glorious fact, we can rejoice this morning. We can say with Paul, as he wrote to the Philippians, saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hey, what strength! What power! And as the saint of God today finds himself in that position of weakness and difficulty, faced with problems that he or she feels he just can't possibly get over or even around, how wonderful to know, beloved, this morning that the Lord is our strength and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I'm confident if we call for testimonies this morning, then many of us would rise to say, yes, in a particular situation, an extreme difficulty, and I didn't feel that I could possibly get through it. The Lord was my strength. To him I give all the glory. He brought me through, and I praise and adore his precious and holy name. I repeat, I'm thankful this morning, dear child of God, that my strength is in Christ. And Christ is my strength. And you rejoice in that as well. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was here? In John chapter 16, and at verse 43, He says to his disciples, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. And that old world out there that gives us all of, or many of our problems, he says, I have overcome the world. And then John, writing in his first epistle 4 and verse 4, he says this. Not only was he back in John, the one who had overcome the world, but John says now in his epistle, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And dear fellow believer, the one who is resident in you and in me is the one who has overcome the world. And as he has overcome the world, there is absolutely no problem too great for him. And so, would to God we would learn the truth again of the psalmist, to cast all of our cares upon him. And resting there, realize that we have a Lord that we love, and the Lord who is our strength. And in this, we greatly and sincerely rejoice. In the 27th Psalm and verse 1, David says there, the Lord is the strength of my life. I'm confident that in the life of David, he who had proven so often, time and time again, the goodness and the strength of the Lord, why he rested there. And he said with delight, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. You're my strength. Oh, dear child of God, another reason then why we should love our Lord. Not only has he redeemed us and made us his own through his redemptive work at Calvary, but we praise him this morning that he is my strength. Nehemiah, that mighty man of God, said in the 8th chapter and the 10th verse, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I sometimes wonder if that is not the secret. If we were enjoying him more, would we not be stronger in him and for him? So, may you and I joy and rejoice in Christ. Just meditating more frequently upon him. Through the Word. Through dialogue with those who are of like precious faith. It may even be the playing of a record as you go about the tasks of the day. But just to have the precious thoughts of the person of Christ as expressed in a variety of ways to encourage you to find that the Lord and the joy of the Lord is your strength. So David says, he is my strength. And we thank God for what he has accomplished in and through us and his people because he is our strength. Many years ago, Robert Morrison, the first missionary to China, had gone by ship into a Chinese port. And as he was about to disembark, the captain sneeringly said to him, young man, so you think you are going to make an impression on China? Morrison quietly replied and he said, no, sir, but I believe God will. And God did. And we thank our God for his strength and his power and his ability. And that's the strength that he wants to display, believe it or not, through you and through me. That power, that strength that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1. When you feel that you just don't have the strength to go on, dear fellow saint, you go over to Ephesians chapter 1 and read the opening precious verses of that chapter. And it will encourage your heart as you realize that the one who raised the Lord from the dead is the one who gives you strength day by day and moment by moment. But there's something else. Not only is he David's strength, why, David says the Lord is my rock, my rock. Well, David has strength. Now David has stability. Thank God for this large, this huge, this immovable rock on which the believer in Christ rests this morning. Not only is it a rock that is immovable, but dear fellow believer, it's a rock that's been placed. And in that cleft of the rock, we have found our stability. We have found our security. How wonderful. How exciting. I don't know how you feel about it, but I believe that there are many of the saints of God today. And they need to realize the fact that they're on an immovable rock. There are so many things out there, so many influences that would seek to shake our confidence in our Lord. But you and I, as believers in Christ, need to know and enjoy the fact that we are on the rock, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Many a child of God over this past decade has been shaken by financial losses, by economical, the conditions of the economy, by political unrest, by family problems, by church problems, a host of things. But oh, may we realize this morning, dear child of God, we are on a rock that is yet to move. We are on a rock that is strong and stable and sure in every sense of the word. What did this same psalmist say? Read it in Psalm 40 as you return to your room. Verse 2. Why, he said, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock and established my goal. Remember that day when he did it? Remember that night when you trusted Christ? When all around was sifting and shaking. Then you found Christ and you found rest. And you were on an immovable rock. The rock which is Christ Jesus. And so, we're on that rock this morning. And we thank him not only for the stability of the rock. We thank him as well this morning for the shade of the rock. Remember what Isaiah said in his 32nd and verse 2? He saw that great, that huge protective rock, his rock, the Lord. And he said, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place. As the shadow, I love this, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Beloved child of God, if you're weary this morning, weary with the journey, oh, just come aside and rest under the shade of the rock. That rock is none other than our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But not only did David find stability here in the rock, not only could he find, as you and I can find, shade from the rock, but we can as well find satisfaction in the rock. Sustenance from the rock. Why? Again, it's David who's writing. Puts the pen of inspiration, the paper, and says, in the 78th, he brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Waters of life that you and I have been able to drink and enjoy. The water came from the rock. Remember, beloved, when the people of Israel needed water so desperately in the wilderness, Moses went to the rock and he smote the rock and the water came up. Beloved, thank God for the smitten rock. The Lord Jesus Christ, smitten on your behalf and mine, and from that rock we have drawn our sustenance and our strength. And for this we praise and thank him. It was the Apostle Paul who could write and say, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and they did all drink of that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that rock which followed them. And that rock was Christ. Beloved, if we're going to drink from the rock this morning, we must be close to the rock. Thank God we're on it. On him. But may we know so much of deep, rich, precious communion with our beloved Lord. When it is time for that next necessary, cool, refreshing love to be able to enjoy it from Him. Brother said to me some years ago, he said, you know, Arnold, I am convinced that 75% of the Lord's people do not fully enjoy their salvation. Was he right or wrong? I leave it with you to judge. But, oh, dear fellow saint, we might enjoy it to the full. Why? That we might say with David, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength, my rock. David hasn't ended there. He says, not only is he my strength and my rock, he is my fortress. He's my security. He's my fortress. Dear child of God, we need a fortress today in the world in which we live, don't we? Out there, wickedness prevails of the highest order. But we need the strength, we need the security of the fortress of our God. We need to rush in and find that He alone will provide that security. He is my fortress. This is an interesting word. It's a word which in the Hebrew is musada. M-S-U-D-A. M-S-U-D-A. It's pronounced meta. Suda. David said, the Lord is my Suda. Some of you have been to Israel, I'm sure. And you have stood at Metsuda, Masada. As you stood on that very, very high plateau, that rock fortress high above the Dead Sea, as flat could be, you've looked to the Dead Sea and seen it in all of its mystery and splendor. And you have no doubt, as we have realized, what an impregnable rock that is. What a fortification. You know the story of Metsuda, Sada, my fortress. When finally the Romans and the Jews locked in combat in the year AD 70, Rome had victory over Jerusalem and it was left for a good part in ruins. The sanctuary was put to the torch. 4 weeks later, it belonged to Titus. As a last center of revolt against the Romans, the Jews fled to Masada. They got themselves up onto that high plateau, and they were descended to the den. Over 1,000 people died on Masada rather than surrender to the Romans. And when finally the Romans had built a large ramp up the one side on which they were able to take their artillery, the Jews realized now this was the end. They made a covenant and a pact between them. And of approximately 1,000 men, women, and children, it was agreed that the men would put the women and the children to the sword. They took the lives of those they held dear. Then it was agreed that 10 men would kill the remaining men. And they did. 10 men were left. Suicide was out of the question according to the laws of Jehovah. So 10 men were to die. The remainder of over 1,000. What they did, they drew a lot within that group of 10. One man drew the lot to put the remaining 9 to death. And he did. Then, when he had finished his act of blood, he put his sword on the ground and fell upon it, taking his own life. David says, the Lord is my medicine. Beloved child of God, our Messiah will never know what it will mean to fall. Our fortress is impregnable in every sense of the word. Not of brick and of stone. Not of artillery of the day. But the Lord who is our strength, the Lord who is our rock, is also, I repeat, our fortress. And here we are safe, dear child of God, from the onslaught of Satan. Why? Because our beloved Lord has accomplished the victory at Calvary. And he, and we, thank God, will never, never know defeat. Never. The young men and women of the Israeli army today take their oath of allegiance on Masada. And as they do, part of that oath is this. Masada must never happen again. Beloved, our fortress will never, never, never know defeat. He cried victoriously when the work of everlasting redemption was an accomplishment. Victoriously, he cried, it is finished. He bowed his head voluntarily. The victory was won. Beloved, in the fortress provided by our beloved Lord, you and I rest this morning secure in our beloved Lord and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Our fortress can never, never, never be taken by Jesus. I thank God for that. My Bible tells me that our enemy will be destroyed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. It's going to happen. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And we've stood, haven't we? The open grave. With a prayer of thanksgiving in our heart, we have breathed our appreciation to our God in heaven. That this is not defeat. This is victory. Because it is but a step between here and the glory. And it is the vehicle that but takes us there. And so with David, dear child of God, we rejoice in this truth. Why? The Lord that I love, he is my strength. Today. Not tomorrow. Not yesterday. He is my strength today. He is as well my rock. For today and every day. I'm thankful that he is my fortress. And he will never be taken by an alien power. I will never, never know what it is to fall to the hands of the enemy for eternity. I'm saved, safe forever. And so are you. Then I say, O Lord, I love. I really do. And I thank you for your love and understanding. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for thy love. But how can we, as poor mortal men, fully express to thee adequate appreciation for all thy love? In our limited way, we draw the words of David to say, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength, my rock, my fortress. Father, please bless all who are here today and the many that are represented, that they represent. May each know their strength. Deep needs that exist, we pray, will be satisfied alone by thyself. As we rest wholly and completely on our immovable rock.